Adventures in Research.
Wonderful invention, the typewriter.
Yes, what would modern business do without it? Imagine doing all that work by hand.
This is Paul Shannon, introducing another in the series of programs dealing with the thrilling adventures to be found in the field of scientific research, as told by the men of science themselves. Today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories, should interest everyone who has ever struggled with this situation.
Hey, where's the J on this machine? Never can find it when I want it. The guy that invented the typewriter ought to be made to swallow his own keyboard. Of all the dumb things to do, leave out the J. Oh, here it is. Well, what do you know?
Sound familiar to you? Well, that's our story for today. The guy who invented the typewriter. Or, to be more factual, the man who brought the idea of a writing machine to mass production success. His name? Christopher Latham Sholes. Let's pick up our story in a little shop on the top floor of an old factory building in the city of Milwaukee. It is late fall in the year 1865.
Hello there, Mr. Sholes. Thought I'd find you up here working away.
Why, hello, Sam. How's the printing business these days?
Oh, we're still at it. You know, it always surprises me that all the interests you have, journalism, printing, politics, and civic problems, you still find time to do a little inventing. How do you do it?
Inventions are my hobby. It's a relaxation for me, Sam.
What's that you're working on now?
Oh, this is a device for numbering. Prints numbers on coupons and tickets and so forth. At least that's what I have in mind.
Say, you know, I've had a device like that in my mind for some time.
Well, I've just got started. Maybe we could pool our ideas and really make something.
We could, sure. That'd be okay with me, Mr. Sholes.
It's a deal then, partner. But we may as well start off on the right footing. My name is Chris, not Mr. Sholes.
Okay, Chris.
Now, here, my thought was to build a numbering machine that would print numbers in serial form automatically and thus do away with the old, cumbersome, slow method of doing it by hand.
Oh, sure. It's too slow, stamping each number by hand with a different metal stamp. Well, just think. The machine we have in mind could turn out thousands at a time.
Of course. And here's another point.
Chris, I want you to meet a neighbor of ours. He's in the next room here. Mr. Glidden, Mr. Sholes.
Hello, Mr. Sholes.
How do you do, Mr. Glidden?
I couldn't resist seeing what you two were working on in here. Looks pretty important. I'm working on a new idea for a steel plow myself. But the thing won't work the way I want it.
Stubborn things, ideas.
Sam here tells me you've perfected a numbering machine.
That's right. It's just completed. Want to see it work?
I'd like to. I promise not to steal the idea.
Okay. All right, Sam. Man votes and let her rip.
It works like a charm, doesn't it? That's a fine job. Congratulations. Now you ought to go one step further and invent a machine to print words and letters, the way this machine prints numbers.
That's quite an idea. Yes, why not?
Just what I was thinking. Why not?
Of course, I realize the idea isn't a new one by any means.
No, lots of men have tried it before, but...
But this machine works perfectly. And I think you've just discovered the secret of automatic printing. And the rest should be easy, or at least much easier.
You're right. What do you say, Sam?
I say, let's try it.
All right. We'll study all the drawings and descriptions of previous attempts at writing machines and see what we can do.
Here's an account of the latest machine built this year, 1867, by John Pratt, Alabama. predicts that this machine or a successor to it will take the place of handwriting, that someday penmanship will be reduced to the art of merely writing one signature on a letter.
You know, I've been studying the drawings and description of Pratt's machine, and I'm convinced I can build a better one.
Well, I'm with you on that, Chris, and I'll help you.
How about you, Glidden?
Well, if I can be of any help, count me in by all means.
Good. It's a three-way partnership, then. Now let's see what we can make on the old methods of building a typewriting machine. Well, summing up past experiments in typewriting machines, I, for one, am more convinced than ever that we can build a better one.
I think so, too.
Yes, most of the machines are for embossing letters in paper so that blind people can read them by hand.
And the machines are so heavy and cumbersome, must weigh hundreds of pounds, to say nothing of being complicated.
That's right. And notice how the characters are arranged, placed around the circumference of a horizontal disc, and a sheet of paper inserted under the disc.
Which means that a man would have to turn the disc until the letter he wants is in the right place.
Exactly.
Then press it down to make the impression on the paper. Mm-hmm. That's slow work.
Yes, it's too slow and too heavy. It takes a man's strength to operate it. We can build something better than that.
Of course we can. I have an idea that might work. Now follow this reasoning with me. There should be a type bar up here that will swing automatically the moment the keys are struck. Now, when that happens, naturally...
Through the days, weeks, and months that followed, the three men, Christopher Scholes, Carlos Glidden, and Sam Sewell, worked hard and long on their experimental model of a typewriter. Each point was discussed, rediscussed, argued about, pro and con. The problem of the keyboard arrangement was a stickler. Until one day...
I've got it. Look, we simply arranged the keyboard like the keyboard of a piano.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean in two long rows of characters on a piano. Now, what letters in the alphabet are most frequently used?
Well, let's see.
Well, as a printer, I'd say the letters E, A, O...
And by all means, the letter I.
Yeah. All right, now here's my idea. We'll arrange the keyboard so that the letters most frequently used are nearest the center.
Like the type in a printer's case.
Exactly. Does it sound logical to you?
Yes, it does to me.
And to me.
All right, then. Let's go to work on it.
Your keyboard arrangement works fine, Chris. Now, what about the actual printing process?
I suggest we adopt the ink ribbon everybody else has used.
Well, I've been trying to find a better material for the platen, something that will make a better impression. But so far, I haven't discovered anything better than rubber.
And I worked on that problem, too. Rubber is best. Grips the paper so it doesn't slip as it's brought into position. The paper rolls easier, too.
Well, if all the details are set, let's go to work and build the machine. Then we can tell better what improvements we'll have to make.
Well, partners, we've done it. And here's our protection. Our patent is granted and takes effect as of now, July 14th, 1868. Congratulations.
Gentlemen, this calls for a celebration.
I think so, too.
And when we've got one more last thing to do after this celebration, find an investor who'll turn out our machines in quantity.
Might be an idea to make up a list of possible investors and write them a letter on our new machine.
Sam, that's a stroke of genius.
Second the motion. Well, now that's settled, let's celebrate. And we earnestly invite your early inspection of this new writing machine. This letter, written on the machine we have invented, is proof in itself that our invention, the typewriter, is no toy, but a practical machine which will save both time and money. Sincerely, Messrs. Scholes, Glidden, and Sewell.
Well, that's the last letter. Now all we have to do is wait for the answer.
Well, here's a letter from a man by the name of Densmore. James Densmore says he's impressed with the machine and wants to buy a quarter interest in the patent. How about that, gentlemen?
Invite him over to see the machine. Then we can talk to him personally.
Good idea.
Well, gentlemen, my offer still stands, although I realize that there's a long road ahead before a successful typewriter is made. However, this model gives the fundamental principles to be followed. Even though the model isn't worth a cent as it stands...
What's the matter with it as it stands?
A number of things. It's too heavy. The parts are too complicated. I'd suggest that you start over and make the parts simpler and lighter. And I'll advance whatever money you need for the job.
Fair enough. What do you say, gentlemen?
Tell you the truth, I can't afford to give it that much time. If Mr. Densmore is interested, I'll step out and say interest.
Well, that goes for me, too. I haven't the time to start all over again.
All right. I'll buy your interest in the machine. How about you, Mr. Schultz?
I'm staying with it, Densmore, to the bitter end.
All right. We'll fight through to the finish.
The next few years saw about 30 models made, each one better than the last. Improvements developed as the result of experience gained. As the models were built, they were sent to professional stenographers, then in those days, to use and to criticize, which they did.
The machine is too slow. Listen.
Type bar's automatic, all right, but doesn't move fast enough to be practical for fast work.
Well, we have one thing in our favor at least, and it's a very encouraging sign.
Yes? What's that?
Our critics are interested enough to comment on our machine instead of ignoring it.
Well, I think this latest model will meet most of the requirements. And the demand for the machines is increasing. But there's still the problem of cost.
Yes, it's costing us around $250 to build one, which puts it out of the average person's reach.
Then why don't we let a manufacturer build them? Turn them out in quantity. That's the only way to put them within the reach of all. Are you agreeable?
Yes, I am. And I know just the manufacturer for the job.
Then it's a deal, gentlemen. With a few further refinements and using interchangeable parts, this typewriter can be produced by machinery at a price low enough to reach a vast market. A typewriter everyone can afford to own.
Mass production in the 1870s did the job. There were hundreds of typewriter inventions and improvements that, and machines to manufacture them. But basically, the majority of the typewriters, even today, follow the principles of the Scholes patent. Yes, the typewriter opened up a new field for millions who found careers as typists and stenographers. And every word typed on a sheet of paper becomes a monument to Christopher Latham Scholes, father of the typewriter. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Join us again next week for another interesting story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.